Our sermon text today is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 17, and continuing all the way through the end of chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians 2, 17 through 3, 13. But brothers and sisters, when we were torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan stopped us. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day, we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now, may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for your presence among us and for how you love us more than we can ever think or imagine. We give you thanks for this letter which has been long preserved for us so that we might hear and understand and know what your word is. Help us to hear that word this day clearly. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. These past several months have been very difficult for us since Paul and Silas and Timothy left here and went off to Corinth. Many of us have known each other most of our lives, if not all of our lives, for we grew up, many of us, as Jews who worshipped in the synagogue here in Thessalonica, but it's just been for the past few months, not even a year, really, that we have been part of this community of faith, a band of disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. And it has been a difficult year, a difficult few months. We have seen riots in the city. Some of us have been imprisoned and then released. People don't like what we're doing with Jesus. They don't like how we are believing in him, how we are elevating him to a position of importance and authority in our lives and in the, in the world around us. There are our brothers and sisters, the Jews that we grew up with who have not come to know Jesus, who are very hardcore monotheists, and they think that we're doing something wrong by elevating Jesus to the point of divinity, by worshiping Him as God. They say there's only one God, and they don't recognize Jesus as being that God, and so they have given us trouble. And at the same time, the Romans, for after all, we live in a Roman world, the Romans who live among us think that we're doing something terribly wrong by elevating Jesus to the position of Lord in our lives. They don't like it when we pledge allegiance to Him rather than pledging allegiance to the Roman government or the Roman flag or the Roman military or the Roman emperor, Caesar himself. It would be so easy for people like us by the way that we are treated in the world. It would be easy for us to give up on the way of Jesus, just to blend into the rest of society as if we were no different than anyone else. But we can't do that, can we? The love of God compels us to follow Jesus and to dedicate our lives to living in His kingdom. But you know, even as I say those words, I recognize how hollow they can sound to follow Jesus and dedicate our lives to living in His kingdom. Those are nice words to say, but it's a completely different thing to live them out. So we can try to do this discipleship thing as individuals on our own, separated from other believers, but that's exhausting work. One thing I've learned over the past several months with you all is that I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me along my path as a disciple of Jesus. And I believe that the same is true for you. And in a broader sense, I believe this principle applies to us as a congregation too. It would be easy for us as a church to just go about doing what we do, worshiping God, growing together, serving people in the name of Jesus, without any support or connections with other believers. And as exhausting as it sounds for us as individuals to try to do this discipleship thing on our own, it is deadly for us as a church to try to do it on our own. If we are not connected to God's work outside of this circle, then we are no different and no better, really, than any other social club that exists. That's why our connection to Paul and Silas and Timothy is so important for us. That's why it's so important that we've just received this letter from Paul. It was wonderful to have Paul and Silas and Timothy here with us last year when they were here. It's even better that our brother Timothy has come to visit us twice since then. You'll remember that Timothy was here just a few months ago. He was sent here by Paul to check in on us because Paul was worried about us and our faith, whether or not we were keeping our faith. So we sent back a good report with Timothy that everything is going well here and we're remembering all the things that Paul taught us. And now Timothy has returned a second time with this new letter from Paul. Timothy, please convey our deep gratitude and thanks for his kind words as you return to Paul and the others in Corinth next week. All of this makes me realize that Christian faith is designed to be a relational experience, not a solitary experience. We need each other. And we all need others like Paul and Silas and Timothy and the church in Corinth and the church in Jerusalem. When we struggle, they can join us in prayer. And when they suffer, we can carry their burdens as well. But to do this, we have to be honest with each other. We have to be real. We have to be authentic and open and transparent, willing to share our hopes and fears, willing to share our joys and our doubts. Otherwise, if we remain closed off, if we remain isolated and disconnected from the other believers around us, then we will burn out and stop functioning. We'll stop living. What Paul writes in this letter is so beautiful. Because we are standing firm in the Lord, Paul and Silas and Timothy are encouraged. In fact, Paul says that they really live because of their connection to us. It shows us that we depend on each other. We live because of each other, even when we are separated by a distance. Do you remember how Jesus taught the greatest commandment? How he said that the most important thing for us to do is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second command is just like it, to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's what this is really all about. You can't do these things, loving God and loving your neighbor, in isolation. You can't do them without honest communication. Do you remember another time when Jesus taught about the importance of a good foundation for a house? The house that was built on the rock would withstand when the storm came, but the house that was built on the sand would be blown away when the storm came. I've been thinking about that analogy, and I think we might be able to expand on it a little bit. I hope this isn't going too far with what Jesus taught. Can you imagine building a tower out of blocks? Blocks, right? That are supporting each other and going higher than any of them could go on their own, right? All of the blocks here are built on the foundation of each other. They're built on their common faith in what's supporting them. And they're supporting each other as they climb up. They're going taller than they ever could have gone by themselves. And it's a pretty sturdy little structure there. It can withstand some pressure, some wobbling to and fro, a little bit of pressure. But imagine if these blocks decided that they wanted to try to go it on their own and wanted to try to build their own tower, each supporting themselves and not relying on the strength of the numbers that they have together. Well, this could go on for a while, right? This is not going to be that unsteady. What if these blocks decided that they really wanted to go it alone and decided that they were going to build themselves a tower this way? Each block relying on its own strength, on its own ability, on its own steadfastness. This could go on for a while, and look, it's taller than the other one now. Uh-oh. Shoot. I got up to 10 this morning. I was really excited. Well, you can see, it's just not going to work. I did, I promise. I got up to 10. I thought, how is this? I don't know how this is going to happen. These blocks could try to do the work on their own. But they are so much stronger when they rely on each other, when they have each other as a foundation for who they are and for what they're trying to accomplish. A house that is built on a rock is pretty sturdy, but a house that is built on sand is just wishy-washy, and it's not going to withstand any kind of pressure from one side or another. It's important for us to remember as God's people that God is the one who gives us encouragement, that God is the one who enables us to stand. God is the one who gives us strength and support. And most of the time, that strength and support appears in the form of the other people who are with us on this journey, in the form of other believers, and of course in the presence of the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells among us. This is real life. We can stand firm in the Lord together because of the encouragement and support the support that we give to and receive from other disciples of Jesus. The connections we have with other believers, with Paul and Silas and Timothy and other ministers in all parts of the known world. The connections we have with people who follow Jesus, even in this family and in all of the families that we're connected to, these connections are not accidental and they are not incidental. They are necessary for our mutual spiritual well-being. Now, one of the ways that we remind ourselves of the importance of these connections and how we are interrelated with each other is in how we share the Lord's Supper together. Jesus shared this meal with his disciples just before he was crucified, and he said that he would not eat of that meal again until it was fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, we are still here waiting for Jesus to return and to fulfill all that the kingdom of God will be. Until that time, we will regularly share this special meal together. It's through this meal that God encourages us and allows us to encourage each other to stand firm in the Lord. You ever stop to think that this meal, the Lord's Supper, is intended for us to practice together? Not so much for us to practice as individuals alone. We eat the same bread. We drink the same juice. Sharing this meal is one way of sharing honest communication with each other. We all proclaim our faith in Jesus and our dependence on Him. So let this meal today be a reminder for you to share your spiritual life with others, your good and your bad experiences, your hopes and your fears, your beliefs and your doubts, your joys and your trials. Share your life with others, so that we all might be strengthened to stand firm in the Lord. Let's pray together. God, we give you thanks for drawing us together into a body of believers that can give witness to who you are, to your grace, and to your glory as we go about living our lives. We thank you for the witness of Paul and Silas and Timothy and the Thessalonian church who shared from a distance such a deep connection with each other and such joy and mutual support that their relationship is recorded in Scripture and is part of your word for us to hear. Help us, Lord, as we go about our lives to dig into the connections that we have with each other, to build up each other, and to share life with each other honestly, so that we might give glory to you, and so that we might see your people grow in this time and in this place. We thank you especially for the meal in which we are about to share, the one that unites us, the one that reminds us of our dependence on you. And we pray that you would be honored as we begin to approach that table now. It's in Jesus' name that we pray these things. And all of God's people said, Amen.